Sunday, November the 17th.
Welcome to this Burlington Audio Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and inspired in your faith as you listen to this message. We'd love to hear what you think. Please be in touch with us through the website. More information and many more podcasts are all at burlingtonbaptist.org.uk. Thanks for listening.
For about 10 years, we have spent most of January doing the Daniel fast. If you haven't been part of that journey or that's new to you, then it started because having pulled the lever that I could best pull and not seen the results that I was looking for, I wanted another lever. In 2011, I thought, or you could say, the Holy Spirit inspired me that we would be a better people if we prayed a bit more. And I think you would say amen. And so I pulled the lever that I could most easily pull. What was that lever? The lever that I could most easily pull is to talk about it on a Sunday, is to preach it. So in 2011, I preached on prayer for the whole year. Anyone remember that? No, you blank out trauma, most of you. A couple of you remember it. Thank you, Jane. But normally when something traumatic happens, we suppress it. So it's a long distant memory. And if I'm honest, it didn't necessarily give us the results we were looking for, or either in my own life or in our collective life. Perhaps we understood some more things about prayer. We'd gathered a bit more information around it, but it didn't exactly release prayer among us, perhaps in the way that the effort, or at least the effort I put in, might have expected. So then when we began to develop a relationship with Ipswich International Church, who clearly prayed in a different way to us, they clearly carried something around prayer that they were more competent in. Now, let's just be even Stevens here, and I'd say that to them as well. There are some things that we're really good at that they're rubbish at, so let's not be intimidated. Okay, but when it came to praying, they were kind of up there in the prayer stakes, and I was a little floundering. So we invited ourselves, which is how all good relationships begin, to join them in their Daniel fast journey. And the idea was that we would practice something intensely for 3 weeks in order to achieve a result in our lives, realizing that actually if we want to grow something within us, activity around it and being close to it and being up and personal about it actually achieves more than simply learning about it. And we know that, of course, in our ordinary everyday lives. We know that in school or in college, the teacher, the lecturer will tell you about something, then you will be given the exercise to go and do it. And so we were leaning into the Daniel fast in order to put into practice them, to exercise some things that we'd learnt. And very simply, it was called the Daniel fast because in the Old Testament, Daniel went on a 3-week fast, refraining from basically the easiest way to describe it is everything you would enjoy. So if you enjoy it, take it out, and then you're left with nuts and berries and a couple of dried twigs, and that's basically the Daniel fast. And we would do that together for 3 weeks, but bringing alongside that a practice of prayer, an intense period in order to produce something in our lives. We're going to take that principle that we've been operating for a decade-ish and going to apply it in January, is my invitation to us, to apply that same principle in a slightly different way. So there will be a way in January, this is the good news, of doing the Daniel fast without berries and nuts. Doesn't that sound encouraging? We're getting off to a really good, we're getting off to a really good start. A couple of people who were embrace nuts and twigs are feeling disappointed. We want to spend a few weeks in preparation, because then we're going to get into Christmas. And when we come out the other side, because we've put in the preparation, we're going to be ready. I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them, how many hours before you leave for your holiday is your packing complete? Off you go. Who likes being well prepared ahead of time? Sarah, I can believe that somehow. Who is very last minute? Mark. Who lives with someone who is the complete opposite to you in your preparation style? Probably all of us. Because Christmas is an intense season and we want to focus on it, we're going to get ready now. For some of you, that will feel perfectly right and proper to have your suitcase packed and in the boot a couple of weeks before you start the journey. That's what we're going to do. Others of you will feel like you can't get your head into that zone. But we're going to try and do this together so that we are ready. So when we emerge into the new year, we will be able to embrace the journey that's ahead of us. We'll be able to go on the adventure. To help frame it, I want to think about with us the things that perhaps we loved or loved to hate about the Daniel Fast journey. I don't know about you, but one of the things that I love about it at this time of year, as the beginning of a new year, is the focus that it brings. There's something about beginning the year with a particular focus, and in our Daniel Fast journey, it's been, what's God saying? How do I relate to Him? How do I offer a life of devotion and worship and commitment to Him? If you like, it's the kind of first fruits principle. The first fruits principle through the whole of the scripture is that you give the first to God as a sign that you give it all to God. Okay, that's what the tithe is. It's the, I give the first 10%, or in the Old Testament, their crops. I give the first fruits, that which is what I am dependent upon. I give that to God as a sign that it's all His and I'm giving it all to Him. Which is a kind of a different posture to I'm giving that bit to God and I'm keeping the rest. We enter the Daniel fast to intentionally give God, if you like, 3 weeks, 21 days, not so that it's done and tick, then we move on, but as a sign, a recognition that we're giving it all to God, that this coming year is ultimately all His, and we want to live the whole thing for Him. Focus and first fruits. And then a word I find really difficult because it sounds so, I don't know. What does this word conjure up for you? Love it? Lord of the Rings? Quiche? Yeah, that's one of my problems with it. That there's an association with quiche, interaction, China, green China teacups. Everyone who said yes is showing their age. Community. So the word fellowship in my mind needs to be redeemed because it's become reduced to quiche and green cups and a kind of superficial interaction. It's the thing you need to do, not to appear too rude before you go home after an event. Please stay for some time of fellowship. Fellowship is two fellas on the same ship. Wait, see what I did there? It's a togetherness on a common adventure. And it's more adventurous than tea and green cups. And more adventurous than risking that quiche, which I appreciate is quite a risky thing. The thing about the Daniel fast at the beginning of the year is it creates a sense of being adventurers together. There's something, there's a camaraderie about it because we're doing it together and there's a sense of challenge and purpose, not just when we gather, but when we talk and reflect about what's been happening. Fellowship. And then I also love the Daniel fast because at the end, the final Sunday, when we have a united service with IIC, and we'll do that again next year, as in 8 weeks' time, not like way on, is that people tell stories about how it's been fruitful in their lives. And God is always faithful, isn't he? When we step a little bit towards him, we draw near to God, he will what? Draw near to you. And that's what people describe, that I create an opportunity in different ways to step towards God. He will step towards me. And so people tell stories about that particular season being fruitful in their lives. And for some of you, those 3 weeks over these last 10 years have been super significant. In God speaking to you, in God shaping the year ahead, God shaping decisions about work perhaps, or family, or friendships, or your purpose in life, your calling, and so on. And I also love the Daniel fast because it propels us forward. There are things we then go on to do for the rest of the year, perhaps with a little less intensity maybe, because we went through that intense season. So, some of us get up at 6 o'clock or 6:30 every morning because for 3 weeks we got up at that time in the morning. And something that started as an intense period became a pattern, a habit for the rest of our ordinary everyday lives. And so what would it mean if we take that principle? Because what I want you to notice is that all those things are true without us even mentioning the food. Because it wasn't about the food ever, was it? Although it's easy for it to become that, to become very task-orientated. But what if we applied the same principle to other Jesus-shaped values? What if we embarked on a three-week period that might feel a little bit intense, a little bit focused, more intentional than perhaps the rest of the year, in order to develop in our lives certain Jesus-shaped values that will then bleed into the rest of our year? We won't work at the same intensity. There's value, isn't there, in building this muscle. It's just like what? It's just like exercise, isn't it? We build the muscle in order to help us grow the whole of our strength. So what do you do do you go to the gym? What do you do? Anyone know what a gym is? Nobody goes to the gym. Anyone do any exercise? Oh, a few of you, yeah. And so you do a little bit of intense activity in order to be fit for the whole of your life. You with me? That's true, isn't it? That's your hope, isn't it? Your hope is not that it's an end in itself. Your hope is that it will produce something in you that will spread throughout the whole of your life. And that's why you go to the gym. That's why you're careful on certain occasions what you eat. That's why you have a particular rhythm of activity. It's the same principle that we want to put into practice here. To have some intense activity for a season to help us be fit for the whole thing. Now, you can't live the whole thing like you're on a running machine, all sweaty and horrible, because you'll collapse. But doing that for a short period enables you to be fit for the whole of your life. Or to think about it another way, thinking that principle about the way that a period of time helps us move forward, We move in our lives often, and organizations do this as well, a bit like a caterpillar. There's a kind of series of, there's a stretch, and then the rest of you catches up to the ground that you've made. And so as we begin the new year, we go into a stretch, and then we allow the rest of our lives, as it were, to catch up. But the net result of that is that we've moved forward. What does moving forward mean? We're a little bit more like Jesus. And that would be good for us, wouldn't it? To be a little bit more like Jesus. So we're going to stretch into being like Jesus and then allow ourselves to relax and catch up. So think exercise, think caterpillar, think seasons. Think seasons. We know that the scriptures go back and again to help us think about the seasons, that there are times of sowing so that there can be times of reaping. There's times of activity and there's times of stillness. And we, at our own peril, misuse the balance of those two things. Long inactivity is useless. Long overactivity or long activity without rest is also equally damaging to us. So there are seasons. So we're thinking about the ebb and flow. As we move into a new year, some stretch, some activity in order that it might affect the whole of our lives. As Proverbs says, give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet. And that's what I want these 3 weeks to be together, for us to give some thoughtfulness about the paths that we want our lives to take. We might kind of incubate that a little bit through the Christmas season, and then it'll enable us to step forward. Why? Because for physical training is of some value. That's encouraging, isn't it, for all you exercisers? But godliness, or as some translations have, but spiritual training has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So what values are we inviting one another to train in, to stretch in, to be intentional about? There are five values, and as we journey over these next few weeks, I hope to demonstrate how they're kind of all interrelated rather than simply plucked out of the air. And I want you to notice, too, that all of them are values that we see at the heart of who Jesus is and the life that he lived. The first one of those is generosity. Generosity. We know that God is a generous God, that Jesus is an expression of God's generosity. What does it mean for me in 2025 to live more generously? What does it mean for you to live more generously? It's not about amounts, it's about posture. It's not about what we haven't got, it's about how we use what we have got. What does it mean to be generous? Because Jesus was incredibly generous with his time, with his relationships, with his emotions. Interestingly enough, one of the lives that was most generous lacked the kind of resources that we think about when we think about generosity. So what would it mean to be more generous? What would it mean to be more hospitable? Jesus was incredibly hospitable. He was hospitable to the woman at the well. Give me another example of Jesus' hospitality. Zacchaeus. Super hospitable to Zacchaeus, who was despised. Feeding of the 5,000. He had compassion on the crowd. Instead of sending them away, he said, no, we need to feed them. The wedding of Cana. He was super hospitable in saving the family's embarrassment by running out of wine and ending up hosting a pretty rubbish party but instead it was the best party. What about all the pesky kids? He likes them. He was hospitable to the children. The children gathered around him, and the disciples wanted to show. So there was, all around Jesus was hospitality. I wanted to notice two things already about generosity and hospitality. Is Jesus didn't have the resources we think that we need to be generous and hospitable. We think generosity is something to do with how much resource you have and therefore what you do with it. Humanly, Jesus had almost no resource. What was the one thing that he had? He only had the cloak that he wore, and they flogged that, didn't they, while he was crucified. That's what the Bible says. So he doesn't own anything. He didn't have the things that we think, oh, it doesn't apply to me because I haven't got that. I can't be hospitable because I haven't got a house or whatever, a table or whatever it might be. Third value that helped him be generous and hospitable was that he was spirit-led. He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. So it was a very easy strategy for Jesus. You know, we debate a lot, don't we? What should I do? Jesus said, well, I just show up and I do what the Father shows me to do. It was that kind of simple. But there was something about a connectivity that Jesus had with his Father, which meant that he lived out of the depths, the deeper place. Now, we talked about this, didn't we, about 18 months ago in our series, Living Out of the Depths, that when you live from a deeper place, it changes the atmosphere around you, doesn't it? You know someone who lives with a depth of beauty or a depth of gentleness or a depth of kindness, that when you meet them, it comes from a deeper place. And Jesus embodied that. We become more like Jesus when we live from a deeper place. And lastly, we become more like Jesus when we show up, when we fully show up, when we are present. Jesus was incredibly present to individuals, even in a noisy crowd. If you think about most of the stories in the Gospels, there's a lot of noise, a lot of distraction, a lot of confusion, a lot of different things going this way and that way, but he was fully present to what was in front of him. Think of an example. The bleeding woman. He said, who touched me? Everyone's touching him, but he was fully present. Think of an example and say it. Sorry, I wasn't clear. The widow's mite. Yep, he noticed, didn't he? Fully present to what was going on in that moment. Zacchaeus again, fully present to Zacchaeus's need and what would really touch Zacchaeus's heart. The blind beggar, when he went to Samaria. Let's have one more just for fun, just because we can. The man with leprosy. And so you begin to see that in all of the noise of life, Jesus fully showed up in that moment, out of the depths, with a generosity, a hospitality. Why? Because he was engaged with his Father and spirit-led. All these values are connected. And I think what I'm inviting us into for the beginning of next year is to spend less time at the information level and more time at the imitation level. So just like we did with prayer, instead of spending a lot more time learning about stuff, let's spend a bit more time just experiencing and doing some things. So not information or just information, but imitation as well. Because the interplay in the scriptures all of the time is not belief or behavior, but it's the relationship between belief and behavior all of the time. And the Christian church in different ways has often emphasized one over the other. So when the Christian church spent a lot of time in behavior, people came along and said, well, it's not behavior that's important. It's what you believe that's important. And you get lists of doctrines and statements of faith and making sure you believe the right thing, almost to the point where believing the right thing is all that matters, independent of how you then go on to behave. And so you have behavior over here and you have belief over here. And the beauty of Jesus and the interwovenness of those two themes in the scriptures is that they come together. And James was making that very point, wasn't he, towards the end of the scriptures, where, when he talks about, you're talking about your faith, but I'll show you my faith by the way that I live. And so faith without deeds is useless. But so also is deeds without faith. But in the same way as that our value of praying together grew because we did some stuff and we got involved together in some action, some activity, the doing helped our believing. Let's take that same principle for some of these values and work out what our doing stuff together will do for our faith. And that's the journey that I think God is inviting us into for the first part of next year, which will bleed into the whole of the year. And why is it called Be Surprising? Because when we begin to embody the values of Jesus, people are surprised because it's different. When Jesus showed up as another rabbi, people were surprised because he was different. When we show up in environments and are generous, that's different. When we show up with a posture of hospitality to others, that's different. When we show up out of a deeper place, that's different. And so on and so forth. And we'll use an acronym. You can see it down there at the bottom. Bless, eat, listen, learn, sent. The first letter of each of those makes the word bells. Because there will be a ring to what we do. Like, I guess the same kind of metaphor that we used some years ago about the noise. That there will be a ring that calls people to attention. Just like bells are supposed to on the top of a tower, calling people to worship, sounding at important notices because something significant is happening. What if there was a lovely ring because we were embracing the values of Jesus and it was inviting people's curiosity because it was surprising? You know, when you get a gift that you don't expect or someone did something that you hadn't expected, you'll say, that was a nice surprise. And so we're looking to be that nice surprise. Everybody in our world could do with a nice surprise. And so we're leaning in to what it means to be more like Jesus and to be to others a nice surprise. Let's pause for a moment. What's getting your attention? What's God talking to you about?